Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1654, air date February 13th, 2026.
All right, good evening, everyone. This is Dr. Shiva Ayadure. Today, the talk is going to be about what's going on with the Epstein files, what this quote-unquote release actually is. And Thomas Massey, who's being pitted against the swarm as someone who's attempting to, you know, get these Epstein files out. We want to talk about that because it brings some very, very interesting issues about what is the difference between a movement which is attempting to shatter the swarm versus something that's attempting to reform a system. You see? And we want to talk about this. It's very subtle. I noticed Andrew Rice was having an argument on the other extreme with a guy on Twitter just now. And the guy was saying, oh, you know, you guys aren't real because you have Dr. Shiva running for office. And if you were real, why would you run for office? Okay? And Andrew was trying to illuminate this guy that we're building a movement. On the other extreme, you may have ill-intentioned or well-intentioned people who get into office and they think that they're going to somehow change the system from within and they're somehow going to reform it as being a quote-unquote lone hero. So this is a very subtle thing that has dramatic effects on the trajectory of change. So let me explain this in this context. Everyone probably has heard of this guy Jeffrey Epstein by now, right? Okay, but there are many Jeffrey Epsteins. In fact, there's a lot of child trafficking going on right now, which no one is even addressing. All right. So we just have to put it in the larger context that there's a lot of trafficking going on right now. And we're not even talking about that. Jeffrey Epstein is a prominent guy who was brought up as a child trafficker, among other things. But if you just step back and you look at what Jeffrey Epstein represents, he represents an individual who was a fly trap to find people who are star fuckers, who wanted to be somebody, and who were compelled to work with him because they thought he was going to benefit them in some way. Okay, so this is why you have such a range of people who Jeffrey Epstein was able to, quote unquote, seduce. You have people on the left, you have people on the right, you have politicians, you have academics, because the common thread among all those people is they want to move forward in their seeking fame and fortune. And they saw him as a vehicle to get there. And he psychologically played them in that desire, okay? He was like the devil, okay? But the devil can't work unless someone has fundamentally some weaknesses in them. So as I mentioned last week, Noam Chomsky was one of the preeminent professors at MIT, was hanging out with Epstein. And Noam right now is very ill. He can't, in fact, talk. And the interesting thing is his wife, Valeria, is about 30 years younger than him, who got married to him after his first wife died. And what's fascinating is I was speaking with Chomsky after his first wife died, and he was sobbing in the office with me, saying how much he loved her and, so devoted to her. And a year later, he marries this woman. It's quite interesting. It's a whole nother world. But this woman was saying, oh, you know, we were taken by Epstein's, essentially his wealth, okay, and how much he had. So the seduction is very high if you are in the environment of these people because you're flying in private planes. Suddenly, you know, you're being offered all sorts of food and dishes. So for the average person who's never been exposed to this and who has a weakness and a desire to get money or get contacts and links, you get seduced by that. And it's quite fascinating the range of people got seduced. Steven Pinker at Harvard, right? But the common thread is all of these people throughout their careers had worked to climb the ladder of fame and fortune within a system. So Epstein, they thought, was going to get them there, okay? And I can tell you this because some of these people I know. And if you recently saw Deepak Chopra, some guy was following around with a camera, and he doesn't know what to say to him. Same thing, star fuckers. At a fundamental level, most of these people, no matter how adept they appear, the common thread among all of them was they saw Epstein as a vehicle to get somewhere. Joey Ito, who is the former director of the MIT Media Lab, hung around with him. The president of MIT took money from him. So everyone saw him as a vehicle to get fame and fortune. And most of these people who seek that, as I mentioned last week, are highly insecure people. But Epstein just represents this entire network of the swarm, which is moved by these very, very different value system, which is imposed on all of us at very, very subtle levels. You know, it's sort of the pollution that affects all of us. And so, but these people had had a history of wanting to climb the ladder of success. And that network was what Epstein was seducing them with. But what he was also doing was compromising these people. Because by being part of that clique, you were doing certain things to compromise yourself, which can later be used against you. Okay? And so that was Epstein's role. And there are many, many people like this. All of government is like this. If you get a government job in any of these, any part of the world, there's always this way that there's a seduction that takes place because you get saluted, you get all these accoutrements, you know, of power. And it's easy, very easy to fall into that. But that's what these people were doing. It's almost like the devil's playpen that they were in. And they got suckered into it at varying levels. Anyway, so that was Epstein. And most of the stuff that I'm sharing was already publicly available, by the way. Thomas Massie, who's a congressman from Kentucky, who acts like he's anti-establishment, very much like Rand Paul from Kentucky. By the way, as a side note, we have Nicholas Lupo here. Nicholas was collecting signatures for us in Kentucky. And everyone may remember this. Nicholas, you know, is a hardworking guy in the electronics field, would go after work and collect signatures to get me on the ballot. You needed to get signatures. And Nicholas was following all the rules, standing in front on the public part of a sidewalk in front of a store. I forget which store it was, Nicholas. And he was collecting signatures. Anyway, the cops came and they said, you can't collect signatures. Nicholas said, I have every right to collect signatures. You know, quoted the ruling, the Pruneyard ruling, which had gone to the Supreme Court. Anyway, he gets thrown in jail and actually brutalized. All of it we documented. And I remember we reached out to Thomas Massie, congressman in Kentucky, and Rand Paul about what occurred. It was tweeted out. They did nothing. This was the grossest violation of First Amendment rights. As you can imagine, during an election cycle, a person exercising their First Amendment rights to in a free association to support a candidate they wanted to see on the ballot, me, and to collect signatures. We reached out to Thomas Massie. We We left messages for him, nothing. This is his own town, okay? But he'll tweet about all sorts of shit, but he did nothing about that. By the way, Thomas Massie also went to MIT. He was a junior to me, okay? So he's not a dumb guy. So during the election integrity process, when I had discovered all this stuff, Massie reached out to me, and we have all of this receipts on it on Twitter. And then I said, yeah, let's meet. But he obviously found out I was potentially too radical for his political his political environment that he was in. Okay. So Massie represents himself as a libertarian. Okay. And then he's fighting the system. I'm not going to question his intentions. They may be well intentioned or ill intentioned. But I can tell you this, that when that occurred to Nicholas, you would think someone who saw that was so egregious would have done something. He did nothing. Because why? We're running as independents. We're not in the Republican Party. Doesn't matter. It was wrong. It was pretty egregious during a presidential campaign. But anyway, when the events with Epstein were unfolding, which have been going on for many, many years, Massie decided to jump in and sponsor a bill. In fact, I believe he wrote the bill called the Epstein Transparency Act, which was to get out all the files on Epstein for everyone, okay? And obviously we wanted to make sure only the victims were protected. So you could say, okay, the victim's name should be redacted. Redacted means like if, you know, XYZ person was the victim and you had their email address, you would put a black line through the documents. Well, anyway, the DOJ, we don't know what numbers are. Let's say there's 6 million files. They only released half of them. And most of them were redacted, meaning all the perpetrators' names were redacted. There's certain pages where the page is just all black. And in fact, they unredacted some of the victims' names who should have been protected. It was pretty disgusting. So you have all these files out there. And if you go on social media anywhere, they're talking about cannibalism that Epstein may have done. They're talking about, rape, obviously, all sorts of crazy shit. And so when these things came out, everyone's tweeting them all over, all the podcasters, everyone overnight is tweeting stuff. And what our position was on this is, if you're simply exposing stuff and you don't have a movement to do something about it, it's going to create learned helplessness, which we've talked about. People just see so much shit, they actually say they get demoralized. It's a psychological operation that the CIA and other intelligence agencies have done to suppress populations, right? You're not afraid of exposing. You're actually afraid if people want to do something about it. But as long as people are exposing the craziest shit, it actually serves the interests of the establishment or the swarm, because people actually get so demoralized. So that was one of the tweets we put out. And then when you see the level of, so what they did was, so you have all these redacted files, right? Black. So like we, the public, the 300 million of us in the United States, what are we actually getting? We're not really getting much, you know, except people taking little pieces and tweeting stuff out and further demoralizing anyone. We're not getting the whole picture, okay? So it turns out they then allowed Congress. There's 100 senators in the United States, two from each state, and there's 435 House of Representatives. 100 plus the 435 is 535. So then they said, okay, we're going to let the 535 people peek into the Epstein files. They get to see all of it unredacted. But how? They have to go to a special room, I think at the Department of Justice, and they can't take any cameras in, and it's a locked room. And in that room, they can go and look at it. Okay? It's ridiculous. But the rest of us, we can't do that. We're like what? We're in economy class and they get to go to first class, right? We have to sit in the back of the bus. Now, the bigger picture is this is damage control. Even redacting these files and even releasing only half of them is damage control. So you're already in a damage control situation. So the swarm is trying to control the spigot of information. And on top of it, what they're doing is they're absolutely fine with people sharing crazy shit because people are going to feel helpless, right? So they get both things. They are doing damage control and they're letting these social media influencers put stuff out there. So a tweet that I put out, I said, look, and I don't know if someone can bring it up, but I did two tweets. You can find it. And it actually, remember, every time I do a new tweet on a new subject, if you know, it'll initially go viral. And then from then on, they won't let me tweet that anymore. Right? So remember when I did Zionist cocksucker, it got like 2 million views. And then after that, anytime I used that word, it got suffocated because they sort of watch me. It's called shadow banning. But if you find that tweet, if someone could find it, it was the one where I said, look, 535, I said, the Epstein file release, quote unquote release, is not a release, okay? If you keep scrolling down, it's the one that got about 200,000 views. I used to get, you know, millions of views, but anyway, if you keep scrolling down, it'll come up. So I want to show you this tweet because right there, all right? If you open that up, I said the Epstein file release is not a release. Only 535 Americans, Congress members, get to see the unredacted files in a locked room. 350 are all AIPAC funded. They're all funded by AIPAC, okay? That means only 185 people who get to see them are not backed by Israel, okay? Which, you know, the position is Epstein was a Mossad agent. So the files, we, the people, 300 million, got are all redacted. That's not disclosure. That's damage control. And to those of you warrior scholars looking at it, there's 230 comments there. Everyone should go there, interact with those people, and invite them to our open house because there's a lot of interest in this. Because I nailed the issue on this. This is not a release. It's just damage control. Okay? And this started going viral. Right after I put this out, if you go down, if you scroll down and click on that one, Thomas Massey then put this out. You click on actually Thomas Massey's one tomorrow. You click on that. So Thomas Massey, who's a congressman from Kentucky, again, the lone hero, quote unquote hero. He said, tomorrow I will be going to the, I will go to the Department of Justice to view the unredacted Epstein files. Which doc should I view? Including EFT, you know, include EFT a link in reply. Because, you know, they put out all the Epstein file. You can put which documents you want to review. I will sort the replies to this post by number of likes. So instead of making redundant posts, please like replies that contain docs you think are more important. So this is a great way to get more likes for his tweet. Okay? So if you go back, and this is what I tweeted back to that. Obviously, my tweet going viral had compelled him to do that. And so I said, you know, Rep. Tom Massey, we want the redacted Epstein files, not a two-class access. 535 Congress with first-class access, and we 300 million sit in economy. You're being middleman to let us, quote-unquote, peek into the files, condones this, making you an accomplice to their damage control. Stop that. Okay? So, thanks. If we can come back to video. So what I was saying was, you see, this is why our movement helps people understand this. So on the one hand, he's a congressman among those 535 people, and he's acting like he's a lone hero, okay, fighting to get the Epstein files out. So the swarm, you know, they control the entire battleground. So what do they do? they don't follow the rules. They only release half of the Epstein files, and all of them are blacked out. Okay? What does he do? What does Massey do? Massey is still playing the game. That's what he's doing, right? He's not saying boycott, I'm going to go on a hunger strike, I'm going to go, you know, get everyone mobilized in the United States to say this is bullshit. Because the law was you're supposed to release all the files. The DOJ only releases half. And then on top of it, you as a congressman have to go to a locked room and only you get to see. You don't get to take cameras, nothing. So by putting out that tweet, what is Massey actually doing? He's saying, oh, public, I will go get it for you. Now, does this make any sense? Now, it may appear he's like being heroic, but this is a reality. He is setting a illusion for people thinking one individual being in this very complex system can through some type of art, to some type of negotiation, get these people to become good people. All right. He doesn't have a movement behind him. Very, very different. So to address this issue, this is the difference between why you have a movement and why you focus on that versus just running for office and thinking once you get that position without a movement, you're going to do something. This is very, very different. And I think I wanted to have this discussion so everyone gets this very clear. So suppose I ran for office for the U.S. Senate without the Movement for Truth, Freedom, Health. I want to win a U.S. Senate seat for Massachusetts. All right. In that model, you would become a politician. You would compromise a little. Well, okay, I'll take some money from AIPAC. Okay, I'll do this because even though as revolutionary as I may present myself as a lone hero, ultimately without a movement, you're going to make compromises along the way. Because what you're going to say is once I get to that position, then I'm going to change things. And a lot of people have this mistaken view. And then once they get into that position, they also cut corners and they make compromises. Well, I got to do that in this case, because let me be happy with him. You know, yes, he says 80% of the shit he says is wrong, but the 20% that I agree with, I'm going to collaborate with him on that. So Massey, for example, is hugging booby fucking Kennedy. You'll find this picture of him praising Kennedy. But Kennedy had just said the Palestinian people are the most pampered people on the planet. And in the other breath, Thomas Massey is opposing Zionism or opposing, I don't think he's ever opposed Zionism, but he's opposed what's going on in Gaza. Okay. And he's opposed the fact that AIPAC has so much influence in Congress. So on some level, he's giving the impression that he's opposed to Israel's involvement in Palestine. But on the other hand, he's hugging booby fucking Kennedy, who weeks before had said the Palestinian people are the most pampered people on the planet. So you see, this sends all sorts of confusing messages to people. Wow, Thomas Massey does that, but then he's trying to get the Epstein files out. Wow, he's a libertarian. So what ends up happening is when you're just a politician in a political office, whether you're well-intentioned or not, radical or otherwise, if you don't have a movement, you're going to play these games. You follow what I'm saying? You're not going to be representing the people fully because you're going to think that you have to play these little games to be a politician. So, and that leads to a lot of delusion and disillusionment of the people you claim to be representing, because you're making these, you're giving signals to people that are contradictory. How can you be hugging booby Kennedy when the guy has said that he supports Israel's bombing of the Palestinian people? Okay? You see what I'm saying? There's this serious issues. How can you on the one hand saying that you want all the unredacted Epstein files. On the other hand, you're going and asking people for views and clicks. Oh, which Epstein file should I look at? You're playing into their model because you don't have a movement behind you. Now, I'm running for U.S. Senate. Now, everyone will know that in my role, I'm not going to be striking deals. I don't give a fuck about all these people. I give a fuck about the movement and the 300 million people in the United States. That's who I represent. So in that model, you do run for political office, but you're not running for political office to be a politician. You're running for political office to advance this larger movement. Thomas Massey has no movement behind him. He could be well-intentioned. Let's, in fact, give him the benefit of the doubt. He's just a well-intentioned boy from Kentucky, okay, who's trying to get the truth out, but he's got no movement behind him. Because he has no movement behind him and he doesn't understand what a movement is, he's going to play these games. Now, anyone here who's a warrior scholar, if you understand what a movement is and you believe, let's say, Barbara Hurd runs for office with the backing of a movement, with the political theory of the movement, with the understanding we're here to build a bottoms-up movement first, and she wins political office. While she's in that political office, what is her number one goal? To grow the movement. It's not to strike a deal and hug with booby fucking Kennedy, who's a fucking Zionist scumbag. No matter what the fucking reason is, maybe you agree with him on one point, he's still a Zionist scumbag. It goes against the core values of your movement. You see? So when you have a movement, you have a North Star. When you don't have a movement, you're being a politician. And that's where the shit breaks down. But when you have a movement, if you have a position as a U.S. senator, man, you got access to speak what the hell you want. You can call, you can do investigations. You advance a movement using that vehicle. You don't give a fuck about the other 99 senators, whether they agree with you or not, because you know they're part of the swarm. You're not there to compromise with them. You're there to grow the movement. You see what I'm saying? Big difference. So Thomas Massey doesn't have a movement behind him. So he's going to send all these confusing messages to people. Now, if you were Thomas Massey or you were in that role and you had a movement behind you, what would you have done? And I asked Andrew this, what would you have done? If you are leading a movement and you are one of the representatives of this broader revolutionary movement and you win a Senate seat and you're trying to expose the swarm, okay, and they start giving you redacted files, what would you do? You would not rely on begging to Pam Bondi, right? You may do some of those theatrics, but maybe you would say, you know what? We're going to take some actions. Like maybe you would do a 50-state tour. Maybe you would tell everyone out there, hey, download these flyers. Go door to door. Hand out everyone. Hand this out to everyone. And let's do a massive march on Washington on such and such day. Now, Thomas Massey can do that. He has access to the microphone. He gets on Joe Rogan, but he doesn't have any concept of a movement. You see what I'm saying? He's not even thinking like that. What we teach at the Movement for Truth and Health is that your first priority is to educate as many people as possible on how they can understand why you need to build a bottoms-up movement. But because Massey, again, he could be well-intentioned. I'm even giving him the benefit of the doubt. But he has a huge fucking blind spot, which is he doesn't know how change really takes place. And if you're looking at the level of corruption that Epstein represents at the highest levels of academia, at the highest levels of politics, these are gangsters at the highest order, scumbags who are abusing children. Do you think these people give a fuck what bill that you pass in Congress? They do. The only force that can expose them is a bottoms-up movement. So he doesn't understand that, right? And so without that understanding, people think they're going to run for office without a movement and you're going to change something. You're not. You're going to be, no matter how good you are, No matter how good you guys think I am, if there's not a movement behind me, right? And we're not educating other people, and you're just running for that political office, you're going to play games. Well, okay, in this case, I can take some money there. In this case, let me hug Booby Kennedy because I agree with him on this, but I don't agree with him on that, right? You do. No, the fucking guy is filth. He's a fucking snake. End to end. There's nothing, you have nothing to do with him. You owe him nothing. So this is like those public prosecutors and those public defenders. Some guy's a criminal, you know, these lawyers, and they go to the back room and they make some deals. Okay, well, you should really go to jail for 20 years, but I'm going to do this deal and you're going to get this, right? So all this compromise and deal making takes place. And at the end of the day, any one of those deals with the devil leads you to hell, whether you do it intentionally or unintentionally. So now you have all this theater with Pam Bondi, okay, the redacted under, but the reality is, once you knew that they're fucking you, which is what you know that they're going to do, you use that as an opportunity to educate others. That's what we did with our lawsuit. We won one, and right when they screwed us, we went back to the public and we educated people. We did 50 videos, right? If you're a U.S. senator or congressman, man, you have the right to openly, you know, go to the steps of the Washington, you know, Capitol and call them. Why isn't Massey calling a massive march on Washington? Of all women, he could do that, but he doesn't have that in his head about building a bottoms-up movement. So the most he can think about is, I'm going to go on Twitter and ask people, if you saw that tweet, what files would you like me to see? He's already playing their game. You lose. So the notion of a bottoms-up movement, most people fully don't understand that. It is always recognizing the power comes from below. And whenever you have an issue, you go back to people. And you educate, educate, educate. That's what we did repeatedly on COVID, on election integrity. We would do video after video after video to educate more and more people. So this is why I wanted to call the talk, you know, Epstein and Thomas Massey. Epstein is clearly the devil. Massey may be highly well-intentioned, but there's a serious weakness when you just go to political office without recognizing that your future of success in that political office, you may get this bill or that bill passed, is that you're missing this huge opportunity to use that visibility, one out of 535 people, right? To, you know, inspire a movement and to grow that movement. Does this make sense? So we're not here to say Massey's a scumbag. What we are here to say is that if you are going to run for political office, the electoral process, and you don't have a movement behind you, and you think that you're going to tweak the system from within, you're going to reform the belly of the beast, you're out of your fucking mind. That's an illusion. And what you're ultimately doing is setting up people for learned helplessness, for failure. If you remember everything that we did in filing our lawsuits, even running for office, we say, look, we're running for the office of the president. We're doing this because we believe this issue of the naturalized citizen thing and the 14th Amendment are important. We're going to educate people. And we got on the ballot. That was a victory. And we educated lots of people. We win. In that model, you always win and you inspire people. We got on the ballot. We educated people, et cetera. Even in the lawsuit and exposing the backdoor portal to Twitter, we won the lawsuit and the judge screwed us. But at the end of the day, we won because we were the ones who exposed the existence of the backdoor portal and we had our movement talking about it. You see? When you grow a movement, any action you do which supports the growth of that movement is a victory and you inspire people. But this is setting people up for mentally failure, you see? So I wanted to do this talk because it's a great opportunity to understand why you need a movement. And once you understand that, you could be a lawyer participating in the swarm. You could be I mean, take the extreme example. You could be the president of the United, you could win, Nicholas could become president of the United States. But his approach to being a president with the movement behind him would be very different. Anytime they fucked you, you would go, guys, they're fucking me. You know, let's all go to the streets, right? Like, you don't give a fuck about your cabinet. You use that office of the presidency to expand the movement, you see? Because you use it as a platform to educate and escalate a movement. You're not using it to compromise your principles. So it's really, really important to understand this, because the discourse that I said, now on the other extreme, there are people who act like they're purists. Oh, well, you know, you shouldn't run for office if you're truly a revolutionary. You shouldn't even participate in the movement or whatever in the system, right? That's the other extreme where people are sitting on their lofty ivory towers because they actually don't want to do anything. Okay? Our movement is very practical. We're saying, look, we're here to educate people. We are going to participate in things that the swarm does, but to advance the movement and to grow that movement. That's being a very practical, pragmatic person. Seeing the reality of the cards you've been dealt, and then figuring out how you play them to advance the growth of the movement, you see? But a lone hero within the swarm can never do it. It's bound to fail, it's just physics. So Thomas Massie, unintentionally or intentionally, doesn't understand that physics. Unfortunate, because he went to MIT, okay? He didn't study, take that class. He should have come to my class that I used to teach on systems dynamics, okay? But my point is, you can be smart, you can go to a smart institution, but if you do not understand history, how things change, and they don't teach you this, by the way. MIT has no class teaching you how to build a movement. So at the end of the day, Truth Freedom Health is literally a training institute of scholarly training, you know, like a monastic place where you have to study. And it is like a place where you actually go do stuff, right? You get signatures like Nicholas did. Until Nicholas went and got those signatures and got thrown in jail, it would have been all theory of what the swarm does. But Nicholas has become one of our very good warrior scholars because he actually experienced theory in action. You see? Like, no one can tell Nicholas that, oh, you know, you can, you know, tweak the system, right? Or you can be, you know, we have to build a movement, right? It becomes clear. So Thomas Massie, I mean, when I was at MIT, we were there doing lots of protests. I never saw Massie come to any of them. So my point is, he's a politico who's trying to act like he's against the system, but has no idea of building a bottoms-up movement. He would be wise to come take Truth Freedom Health Foundations of Systems course. So Thomas, if you're listening, you should come to our course. Because then you could use your position to actually advance a movement. And then you would understand why you should have fucking picked up the phone and helped Nicholas Lupo when he got arrested in your fucking home state. But there's a big gap between your understanding what a movement is and being a politician. So no matter how libertarian or radical you think you're against establishment, you have a huge gap in understanding. It's like you're faking being a radical, right? Sounds good. Nice guy. And he may be a nice guy. You know, he runs a farm. He does all these things. But there's this huge gap in understanding. So people should ask Thomas Massie to get training. It's just a piece of knowledge and understanding he does not have. So this is why, you know, those of you listening, those of you warrior scholars, we have a huge opportunity with my run for Senate. Because I'm not running for Senate. Everyone here is running for Senate. You're all running for Senate. And that's what I tell people. I just happen to be the weapon that you can wield, but you're all running for Senate. You see, that communication that I just did is very different than what a top-down politico would do. We're saying we're all running for Senate. Everyone has to educate people on what it means to build a movement. And my run for Senate is about building a movement. So what does that look like? In a very practical way, you have people all over the country taking to the phones, calling up people in Massachusetts. And if you go to the website, Shiva for Senate, people can pledge to vote for me now. But then we're telling people, if you pledge to vote for Dr. Shiva, get 10 more people to pledge. So it's not about me running for office, raising money, right? Giving stump speeches. Bullshit. It's all bullshit. I'm not going to do it this time. No way. It's not worth it. Because while I get out there and I'm giving speeches, what is the individual doing? We flip the model. We want each one of you to be accountable. I'll be a damn good senator. We'll build a damn good movement. But you have to be part of that now, not after I get into the Senate. You see? So this is a completely different way of thinking. It's the right way to think. So Massey needs to get some training because he's doing the outer show, but inside, theoretically, he doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. That's why he tweeted that tweet out. Let me go peek for you. We don't want you to peek for us. We don't need you to do that. Why doesn't he do a, I'm not saying he should do this. Why doesn't he do a hunger strike and tell other people to do that? I'm giving some ideas, you see, when you think differently. Why doesn't he do a tour? Why doesn't he say, today, March 15th, we're all going to meet on the steps and we're going to realize that the system is so fucking broken, which it is, that we, the people, let 20 million people show up on the, you know, on the steps of the Capitol. He can do that. Will he do that? Will he do that? No, without this understanding of what a bottoms-up movement is. He doesn't even have that in his vision. So that's why this is why we need to build a movement. So that's why if you bring up the title slide, we said, okay, you have Epstein here and you have Massey here and you're going to see all this theater, but how's it advancing a movement? So all these podcasters are just flailing, right? Oh, this is, Joe Rogan is now saying this, but they have no solution. That's why this says Epstein and Massey, right? Why we need the movement for truth, freedom, health. Thank you. We'll take some questions.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Shiva. I'd like to remind you, when you ask questions, please stay on topic and do not raise your hand. Please put it in the chat.
And Marcelo, I think the topic here is I really want people to ask questions relevant to this issue of the issues around, you know, the tactic of running for office, right? Or being a politician. We're not telling people not to run for office and be, you know, participate in the political process. But what is your goal in doing that? And how do you plan on achieving those goals? And how does the goals relate to the long-term reality that is movements that actually change things? All right. Yesterday, so, by the way, I was doing I did two podcasts. One was a guy called Jesse Jackson. You may know him. His son called me, Jesse Jackson Jr., to do an interview. Okay. And he's running as a Democrat. I forget where, for Congress or something, you know? And he too is disillusioned now about both parties. And I don't know if you know, in Louisiana, which is an all red state, someone just won a congressional seat there. So the right wing is now moving to the left because they're disillusioned with Trump and all. And this is what the establishment wants. One day you move all the way to Trump, then you move all the way to someone else. And same in Texas, a guy in Fort Worth won an all red region won, a Democrat won. So people are knowing something's wrong. The same people voted for Trump are going to the other direction now. And this is what the establishment wants. One day you vote for Obama, the next day you vote for Trump, the next day you vote for Jasmine Crockett, you know, or AOC, or Mamdani, the next day you vote for J.D. Vance. You see what I'm saying? And nothing ever changes. And you're already seeing it happen. But in this interview, you know, I think it should come out. It was a good interview, really pounded away at this fact on, we talked about immigration, and I think he got it, right? He had to acknowledge it, you know? So, questions. Let me see what we got. All right, we don't have to have questions. You guys may want to reflect on this, but it's an important topic to understand the intention of why you're doing something. As I mentioned, I could give, there's a picture of Buddha behind me. I got this painting recently, but Buddha made a very interesting point. You can give a knife to a surgeon or to a crook, right? One sees that knife as a vehicle to kill somebody, and the other will wield that knife to heal somebody, right? So the issue is, what is your intention in running for political office? Is the intention to think you're going to get in there and get wheedle your way into doing something by compromising? Or is the intention to use that platform as a bully pulpit to grow? You see, you got the same vehicle, the same weapon. How are you going to wield it? So let's go here. We got one question from someone on Twitter. It says, many people think MAGA is a movement. How is MAGA fake or at best ineffective compared to TFH? Great. Great. Very good question. So many people think MAGA is a movement. How is MAGA fake or at best ineffective compared to TFH? So it's a great question because the establishment in power is studying movements, believe it or not. They have people at Harvard, at Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy, who are studying system science. They have studied it. And they too know the power of movements. They do. So what they do is they inspire top-down movements. Okay? You can have a bottoms-up movement or a top-down movement. With enough money, you can create top-down movements. The entire concept of MAGA was a top-down marketing campaign. That's what it was. Designed many years ago. Just like Obama's campaign of hope was a top-down campaign. So understand, Socrates, Twitter is his name, that the establishment knows the power of system science and they know the power of movements. The difference is they're wielding that weapon for power, profit, control. That's their goal, using control system science theory. They also know the power of movements, but it's not organic bottoms up. I mean, Trump was a Zionist-funded billionaire. Top down as you can get. There's nothing bottoms up around about Trump, right? Nothing. So the MAGA movement is real, but it came top down, highly controlled, top down. So it is effective because they understand the importance of a movement. But the reality is that it's top down. It's not coming organically. So when the head of the beast starts being exposed, you start finding contradictions in it. It's not grounded in anything from a scientific perspective or from a worker's perspective. It was imposed on the American, particularly white worker, to divest them from building a true bottoms-up movement. That's why MAGA is such a weaponized vehicle for the elites. because they know that people want to build the bottoms-up movement. They know that is natural, so they went and created one. In many ways, MAGA is a not-so-obvious establishment movement against a real movement for truth, freedom, health. That's what it really is. But I think the key takeaway is those in power know the power of movements. The March on Washington, some of you may know, by Martin Luther King, they knew a movement was coming up, a civil rights movement, bottoms up. So they hijacked it and they did it top down. So Martin Luther King, the March on Washington was very, very controlled. Same thing in India. If you take our course, there was a bottoms up movement emerging to kick out the British. The British sponsored Gandhi. It was a top down movement they did. Okay? So hijacking of movements does take place. And you can look at where did that leader come from? Like, where were they? Where did Trump come from? Is he bottoms up running, you know, casinos, bankrupting casinos, running beauty pageants? This is not a bottoms up guy, is it? No way. But the key takeaway is the establishment knows the power of movements. And that's why they shadow ban us. And they will not shadow ban simple influencers that just talk shit and steal our stuff, because they're not building a movement. Next question is, William Douglas says from Oregon, what can be done to stop the extreme level of the corruption of the, I think you meant the swarm? I suggest body cams, barring from trading and making finances also public. Thank doctor, also register AIPAC and end the Federal Reserve and ban the Fed field, SWAT crews, and ICE. Thank you again. ICE is Trump's Gestapo to divide the people. Yeah, so William, I assume, is William in our movement? William Douglas from Oregon, but good to have you. You're making some great points. Lastly, many older folks wondered why you weren't in Trump's administration, and obviously it requires no explanation. Look, it would have been very, very easy. When I met with Trump, he asked me 20 times, what do you want from me? I said, I want nothing from you. And that was at a time when he had used all of my material for the election integrity work that I had done. But he thought I was some Zionist cocksucker. I was there to meet with him for a position, and most people do. And the reality is, if you're in the cabinet of the swarm, what signal do I send? Am I sending to all the other people out there? You see what I'm saying? It's a contradictory signal. So although it would have benefited my career, quote unquote, my career, quote unquote, right? If I were following that world, and I've had many, many opportunities to do that, it would have been the wrong thing to do against all the values that I believe in, which is we need to build a bottoms-up movement to shatter the swarm. That's my single focus. Booby fucking Kennedy is a Zionist cocksucker. He's been a cocksucker all his life. And you're talking about Epstein, you know, bombing of Gaza, and he's talking about getting red dye out of Fruit Loops. Okay, you know, you have to sort of really look at this. And at the same time, he's lied about the mRNA, you know, like he stopped the mRNA vaccine bullshit. Everything is going on as usual and worse. They're just throwing some crumbs to people while in the back end, power, profit, and control gets consolidated. So no, you don't want to be part of the snake pit, okay? Because I would have been legitimizing Trump. If I were in that cabinet, I would be, people would be thinking, oh, Trump is, you know, doing a good job, right? That's why some of these podcasters will put me on to legitimize themselves as though they're actually doing something when they're not. Let's go to the next one. Good. Barb, thank you very much. Barb has put up a whole bunch of links that we'll go through. One of the important things I want to emphasize is because we have a movement, we also are looking at the here and now. We're not talking about creating heaven on earth, or by the way, a movement's end goal is not something that some messianic thing that occurs sometime in the future. Our movement here and now walks the walk. So we have actual solutions which are created by the people for the people. We have a solution that is helping hundreds of millions of people all over the world know when they're shopping what product is actually a clean product that's conscious, that's living, that's ethically made, that's bioavailable and nutritious. We developed that seal. It's a people seal, bottoms up. We're very proud of it. Booby fucking Kennedy didn't do that. We did it. The government didn't do it. We did it. So that's something very tangible. So movement is a movement. It's not some messianic religious thing. Here and now, we have solutions. We have a solution for health education. How do you take care of your health? How should you become your own doctor? We teach you those principles. We have systems health educators, about 54 are going to be graduating this quarter from all over the world. These are amazing people who learn system science. They get access to technology and they're literally helping people face-to-face, online and offline about how to improve their health. That's systems health, a tangible solution. We have the Open Science Institute, a tangible solution which competes, is on par with the biggest scientific institutions in the world. We're doing fundamental research in medicine using a technology called Cytosolve that helps us understand disease at a molecular systems level and helped us find new combination therapeutics from nature's pharmacopoeia, not pharmaceuticals' pharmacopoeia. We're running for U.S. Senate. It's a solution. It's real, tangible. So everything we do is in the here and now. It's not theory. And it's actual tangible solutions. Mark Douglas said, so can Moms Across America or other bottoms-up organizations help you in your movement? Yeah. So Moms Across America, Mark, they should go. You see, let me put it to you this way. The key is you got to go to the root cause and recognize that if we don't take a systems approach, you're screwed. You'll be off 1 degree, 2 degrees, and it screws up everything. So, you know, in Moms Across America, there's people who are still supporting Trump or Kennedy. All right? Because theoretically, they have the wrong theory, meaning they have the wrong foundational framework. So they'll make mistakes. They may be, again, well-meaning people. You see, Thomas Massey may be a well-meaning person, but he doesn't have the theoretical framework. And that's being giving him the benefit of the doubt, by the way. And I'm willing to do that because let's give him the benefit of the doubt. But the reality is that without going through the Foundations of Systems course, without which was not available to the world, it is. Without getting that knowledge, you will be screwed. So, Mark, you should invite them to come here. You know, we're willing to work with anyone who wants to sincerely expand their knowledge base. Two more questions, and it's 10, and we'll wrap it up. Is Michael Stetler on Twitter says, a question for Dr. Shiva, isn't something being released better than nothing? We take what we got and keep working on it. Foot in the door, a beachhead doesn't win a battle, but is the necessary first step. Yeah. So, Michael, you bring up a good point, but here's the issue. You don't want to be, you want to raise your standards, Michael. You don't want to be fighting for crumbs. We all knew Epstein's a scumbag. All the stuff in the Epstein files, Michael, has already been out there. There's nothing new. Les Wexner, Victoria's Secret. We already knew this before the release. Okay? So let's just step back and don't get lost and don't give people credit for stuff that's not even significant. All right? When you say we take what we got and keep working on it, well, what you got to get is the understanding how systems work, who's the obvious establishment, who's the not so obvious establishment. That's what you should study, Michael. And we invite you to join this community of incredible people and learn. Because then you'll realize that the question you're asking, while it sounds very sincere, is based on, and it's not your fault, you lowering your standards to such a level. It's like a person who hasn't had water for, you know, many days, that you get a little drop of water and you're so happy. No, it's much, much deeper than this. There's much more that we deserve. The bottom line is that everything we knew about Epstein and all these people, we've already known this stuff. We already know whether there's an Epstein or not, these people are scumbags. So let's not think that Thomas Massey is doing some heroic work by giving us a little more data on how scummy they are. That's not what this is about. This is about the fact that they have no interest in ever changing any of this. And to be part of the theater, to think they're going to do that, is misleading people. That's what we're saying. Next one from YouTube is, what will it take for the public to understand Elon Musk is not a genius, but a government front fake, a mushroom psychedelic drug addict with a backdoor portal? That's excellent. Who is this guy? It's excellent. Yeah, by the way, Elon Musk said he had nothing to do with Epstein. We all knew he had shit to do with Epstein. And then there's, you know, stuff coming out that he was doing that, this and that. But all of this is what's called a limited hangout. They're doing just little releases, right? This is why those unredacted documents are our public property. They should all be released, period. There's no compromise. Right? So compromising on this issue in any way is playing into the swarm. It then becomes theater. And that's the problem I have with Massey. Okay? And all of these people, because so much, and Ro Khanna, his other guy on the Democratic side, is saying, oh my God, this is going to bring down the British monarchy. What about the US monarchy, oligarchy? He's now pointing everything at Britain. I mean, this guy's nuts. And by the way, if you know, little by little, very little is being talked about Trump in all of this. Now, I have seen some of that stuff with Trump, with pictures with young, very young women. I don't know if they're true or not, but in the world of AI now, I'm sure the next thing is, oh, none of these pictures are real. They're all AI'd. So it's quite convenient to do that. So the establishment has so many ways to get out of all of this. The only way forward is people need to learn what a movement is, why we need to build a bottoms-up movement. And to this online call 5284, we all know Elon Musk is a scumbag. We teach that in our course. We've exposed him over and over and over again. We're the ones who've consistently exposed him. But, and to answer the question, what will it take for the public to understand? Education. The primary education is a concept of the obvious and not so obvious establishment. And it's not going to happen overnight. You have to educate people. The podcasters and the social media influencers are not going to do it. Only our movement has the infrastructure to do it. So join this movement and join this community. All right, thank you, everyone. I know you have some more videos to play. If you want to take any other questions, please do so. But it's a really, really important discussion, or the knowledge I'm sharing with you today, about why you need a movement, why an individual, quote unquote, hero in the establishment is not sufficient at all by any means. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Shiva.
We have allowed our country to be taken over from within, and the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves, because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you, deep down inside them, that you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to, and we need to all unite working people. There's only one movement that can do that. And that is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health. Look, I've been a student of politics since I was a four-year-old kid, studying revolutionary movements, left-wing, right-wing. There's a physics, there's a nuclear science to destroying the establishment. To build a bridge, you need to understand Newton's equation. You need to understand the laws of gravity. You need to understand Poisson's ratio. There is a way to build a revolution.
And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train an army of truth, freedom, and health leaders. We don't need followers like social media. We need leaders, but they need training because the educational system does not teach them history, nothing. So in 3 hours, that's what I've started doing. That's the solution. We got to train people first with understanding what a system is, the dynamics of all systems that affect nature. The second is understanding the interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely. Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypothesis into truth, which is science. And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems and fake solutions, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body, you can't fight for freedom. Truth, freedom, health. Third concept is it has to be bottoms up. Working people, people who work uniting. And what the right wing has done is whenever you say working people unite, that must be communist. Meanwhile, they've let the Democrats run unions, which suppress workers, completely corrupt. But when you look at the arc of American history, it's been when working people came up. We need to go local. Every solution I'm coming up with is a part of this movement. We're giving the science, which is the truth, and then we tell people what they can do on the ground. Like with election fraud, you don't need to wait for some lawyer. Our goal is to train people to go local, to go local, to go local, fight locally. Forget lawyers, forget politicians, forget celebrities. You've got to learn politics, and there is a science to it. They lock us down, we should be ready to shut them down. And the fourth part of this principle is the not so obvious establishment. So when you look at a system, there's always something that disturbs you from getting to your goal. Well, the biggest disturbance is the not so obvious establishment, which are those people who claim they're for you on the left and the right. The Al Sharptons who tell black people I'm for you. The Tucker Carlsons. Do you think any true anti-establishment person will ever be on Fox or CNN? I don't think so. They both mislead working people back into the establishment. Without this solid understanding of political physics and theory, you're screwed. You're going to follow on the left wing Bernie Sanders. Oh, he said something. Or Robert Kennedy. Scumbags. Or you're going to follow some right-wing talk show host. They're not going to lead us to liberation. It's us. We're building a bottoms-up movement. And that political physics, it's a nuclear science of change. Bottoms up. We have to organize to understand that there is people who talk a good game and then look at what they actually do, left and right. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity may say some good things, but I don't see the urgency in his voice to get something done. And it can only come when you weaponize yourself with the right knowledge. You need to be able to identify a rat. You know, Christ didn't go after the Romans, right? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who screwed him up. His own quote-unquote people. And that's where we're at. So these four concepts I've built into a curriculum where people can go to truthfreedomhealth.com, and it's an educational program. We need to train people in political theory. You need to have physics. And I've created that curriculum. People need to get educated. We need to get educated fast. And within a half an hour, I can teach people 2 years of MIT control systems. I teach people those concepts. Then I apply it. Anyone can understand it. And then you say, oh, I got to build a bottoms up movement. They have to get politically astute, and then they have to go locally and act, not sit there on social media. They have to act locally, defy locally, do civil obedience locally, but with knowledge on how to build a movement. And the Senate campaign's expanded to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health, and they can find it on truthfreedomhealth.com so people can sign in. They can get access to a bunch of videos. If they want to take a course and become a Truth, Freedom, Health leader, I offer a full scholarship there, but we want people to make a commitment that they'll study, that they'll get certified, that they'll go do activities on the ground. So go to truthfreedomhealth.com. Welcome to VA Shiva. VA Shiva is a product of my journey across East and West, science and tradition, ancient and modern, that brings you the science of systems so you can become a force for truth, freedom, health. VA Shiva is a platform of revolutionary education, community building, and weaponry for unleashing local activism. My journey to VA Shiva begins in the chaos of Bombay, where I experienced diverse religions, languages, castes, and in a small village that had no running water, no electricity, where my grandmother, a poor village farmer, practiced Siddha, an ancient system of Indian medicine over 10,000 years old. She observed one's face, the art of Samudrika Lakshanam, to understand a body's unique constitution, allowing her to deliver the right medicine for the right person at the right time. Watching my grandmother heal others, I was inspired to study medicine, but I was also aware of the corrupt caste system of India, which denigrated a human being, where my family were considered low caste untouchables, where one's birth determined one's destiny. The grit and determination of my mother and father led them to get educated and to come to America, a one in a trillion event. Their actions inspired me to work hard and excel. While in ninth grade, I attended New York University in a computer science program, and subsequently, at the age of 14, was given a full-time job as a research fellow at what is now known as Rutgers Medical School in the heart of Newark, New Jersey. There, I investigated the system of sleep using mathematics, computer science, and biology for sudden infant death syndrome. It was there in Newark where I invented email when I was the first to convert every feature of the physical, paper-based inner office mail system, including inbox, outbox, memo, carbon copy, blind carbon copy, attachments, into its electronic equivalent, a system which I named email, a term that I was the first to coin. On August 30th, 1982, I was awarded the first U.S. copyright for the invention of this system, recognizing me as the inventor of email. At that time, copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. I went on to MIT, where I earned 4 degrees across multiple systems of engineering, electrical, mechanical, design, biological. That training led me to invent many other systems for advancing humankind. Echomail, the world's first intelligent email management system. Cytosolve, a computational biology system for eliminating animal testing to discover new medicines faster, cheaper, and safer. And to the creation of a whole systems methodology for certifying clean food. These innovations led me back on a Fulbright to India, where I discovered the missing link between Eastern medicine and Western systems theory, honoring my grandmother, to develop Your Body, Your System, a powerful tool that will help you understand how your body is a system and how the inputs of food, supplements, and exercise bring your body back to its natural system state. And Systems Health, an integrative educational discipline that is now integrated into the VA Shiva platform that will enable you to learn the science of systems, the science of everything, be it your body as a system or our society and politics as a system, to reveal the foundational interrelationships between truth, freedom, health. Now is the time for you to be the light, learn the science of systems, build community, and weaponize yourself to unleash the activism necessary to deliver truth, freedom, health in your local community. Welcome to VA Shiva.